Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
It's Relay Sunday. And you're like, what is Relay Sunday? No one's going to have to run around the building. Don't worry. It's not that kind of relay. What happens is normally we would have one speaker up here delivering a message and doing an incredible job. But this week we have four different speakers that are going to be speaking to us today. And they're all going to speak for half an hour each. We're going to be here for 2 more hours. No, that's not happening. We're going to be here for 4 amazing speakers. These are people in our church. Man, they're serving on different teams in our church. They've been part of our church. They love our church. And today we've asked them, hey, we've seen God do incredible things in your life. Would you come and share 7 minutes of what God's been doing in your life, what God's doing in your heart? And so it's so fun. We love this Sunday at our church. And man, we have an incredible group coming up today. And I'm so excited. Man, first service, I'll tell you what, it was loud in here in first service. So I challenge you, not because someone was yelling at up here the whole time, because the crowd went wild. And so we need to challenge first service. We're gonna be louder. We're gonna shout these guys down louder. We're gonna encourage these guys more. Not because we just want to be loud, but because it sets an atmosphere where we can receive from the Holy Spirit when we're agreeing. And so I'd encourage you today, man, if you haven't done this yet, come on, be a little bit loud in this service with me. Encourage these speakers as they come. And we are so excited for Relay Sunday. So without further ado, you've heard enough of my voice. Today, you need to hear from our very first speaker. Our very first speaker has done an amazing job. He's been in our church for 8 years. 8 incredible years. He got saved in our youth ministry. So Camp Sunday, such a great way to start this. He got saved in our youth ministry. He started serving on teams, loving people. He's a huge part of our youth ministry, an incredible part of our worship ministry. I'm sure you have been blessed by his vocal cords before as he leads us in worship. But man, I tell you what, above all those things, he's one of the most integral people I've ever met in my life. He's a man of his word, and anything he says, he's doing. And I tell you what, he's an incredible, incredible young man. He's got an amazing message for us today. He's even engaged to our children's director. So he snuck in here, and we got him for life. We're happy. We got him. We're holding on to him. So would you help me give it up for Josh, Louie, and Bozzy? Come on, make some noise this morning as he comes. Let's go.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You guys can grab a seat. Man, how good was that worship this morning? Was that not unbelievable? Man, that was amazing. So, you know, worship, when I think of worship, that's what I think of. I think of, you know, jumping around, having a ton of fun, singing a couple songs on a Sunday, and then, you know, that's kind of it. That's what pops in my head when I first think of worship. But, you know, as I've been going on and growing, God has kind of been, you know, challenging me on what worship really means and what worship really is. And I've come to this conclusion that worship is not meant to be an event. Worship is meant to be a lifestyle. Worship isn't meant to be an event. It's meant to be a lifestyle. And I've got a verse here. It's Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5, that I think just sums this up really well. It's, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I just think that that's such a strong reason and backing as to why we worship. I just think that's such a great example of it. See, worship isn't necessarily about, you know, whether things are going really good or really bad in our lives. Worship is based on who God is, who he says we are, what he's already done, and what he's going to continue to do in our lives. That's what worship is about. So when we raise our hands and we get excited on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon like today, it's not about whether, you know, our week was amazing or we're going through some tough stuff. It's about, you know, believing and knowing that I've seen God do it before in my life, and I know that I'm going to see God do it again in my life. That's what worship is about. So our worship can't be based on how we feel. Our worship needs to be based on who God is and who his word says we are, and how we know that God, the same God who's done it before, the same God who's going to carry us into those amazing moments again. See, worship is simply an outward expression of our inner emotion. And to take it one step further, what I've realized is that worship is simply an outward expression of our inner devotion. Worship is simply an outward expression of our inner devotion. And I can give you guys an example of what I've seen this in my life. Something I have a problem with, and lately I've had to deal with, is Instagram. I don't want to admit it, but I have a problem with Instagram, okay? So what I've noticed is that I get sucked into sitting on my phone for hours, just scrolling through the screen, and what I noticed is I started getting so entangled in looking into what other people are doing with their lives and how many followers I had and how many likes I was getting on photos, and I realized I started worshiping Instagram, and I started putting so much importance and so much worth on Instagram and on this phone and this social media account, and I was starting to base my value as a person on what people who don't even really know me think online about me and those likes, and that was what I was translating my worth into, and I realized that I was worshiping Instagram. And what I realized is that if I'm worshiping Instagram, I'm not worshiping God. I can only be worshiping one thing at a time. So I've just made a decision for my own life. I had to come to this decision that when people look back on my life 10, 15, 25 years from now, or if I die, I do not want to be known for the followers I had on Instagram. I want to be known for the follower of God that I was. That's what I want to be known for. I don't want to be known for the followers I had on Instagram or Facebook or any social media account. I want to be known for the follower that I was. See, worship is meant, it's not meant to be something that we do here, you know, for 30 minutes or an hour on a Sunday. Worship is meant to be something that happens in the everyday. Worship is meant to start on a Sunday where we come in and we get excited and, you know, we feel God's presence and we get charged up. And then on Monday, we have the same excitement and we believe that worship is not something that happens in this building. Worship is something we walk through in our everyday life. Worship is meant to be Sunday through the week to the next Sunday. That's what worship is meant to be. Worship is meant to be a lifestyle. And something God has really been putting on my heart and causing me to question about myself is just to think bigger about what worship is and what worship looks like in my life. God has really been asking me to, you know, to really look to myself and see what areas of my life am I really worshiping God in, and am I really worshiping God in every area of my life, or am I just doing it on a Sunday? And what I've found out is that our worship can be seen through our workmanship. Our worship can be seen through our workmanship. So what I've realized and I've had to look at in my life is, man, work. I spend a ton of time at work, and I've had to look to myself. And I'm not perfect in any means at this, but I've had to, you know, I've just started to, you know, make a decision that when I'm at work, that's worship. That's God's workmanship. I'm not gonna come to church on a Sunday and get excited and jump and sing for a couple songs and then go back to work on Monday and be a different person. No, my Monday is the same as my Sunday, which is the same as my Tuesday. Worship is a lifestyle. My worship, I want my worship to be seen through my workmanship. So I guess my question for you guys this Sunday is, what is the area of your life that God is calling you to make a place of worship that you haven't surrendered yet? What is the place in your life that God is saying, you know what, this is a place of worship for me that you haven't surrendered yet? For you, maybe it's just like me, where, you know, you're at work and sometimes, you know, not intentionally, just there's a disconnect where you kind of forget that, you know, God has called you here too. And I just want to say, you know, I've realized it in my own life, and I just want to say to you, if that's for you and that's work, let me tell you, God has positioned you in whatever position you are in for a reason. It's not just your words that have an impact on people. It's your actions, how you work, how hard you work, how you interact with people, even if it's tough. That is an act of worship. Your workmanship is an act of worship. Or maybe for you, it's, you know, God has kind of been stirring something in your heart and calling you to start serving up on a team. Man, I am so thankful for the people who come when I drive in every single Sunday, who park my car and who help me stay alive in the cafe, because I would not be the same without a cup of coffee on a Sunday. I'm so thankful for those people. And I'm so thankful for the people next door who decide, you know what, I'm going to dedicate some time on a Sunday to make sure that kids growing up, they know who God is. They know what he's doing in their life. That is an act of worship. I'm so thankful for that. So my, you know, or maybe for you, you know, with it being Camp Sunday, man, camp changed my life. Maybe for you today, God is saying, hey, you know what? I don't want you to just see what God is doing in people's lives through camp. I want you to be what God is doing in people's lives through camp. Maybe God is calling you to step up in volunteering at camp or volunteering resources. But that is an act of worship. And just like we saw in Katie's, you know, Katie's testimony there, that changes lives. But my question to you is, what is your act of worship? worship that God is calling you to, because worship can't be something that stays on a Sunday. Worship is every day. Worship is not meant to be an event. It's meant to be a lifestyle.
Gosh. Awesome. Awesome. What a great job. Man, you came on a good week, didn't you? I'm glad I came to church today, even though I have to, or else I get fired. I'm glad I'm here. Our next speaker, man, we just love this guy. Just recently getting to know him a little bit more, and you probably don't know who he is, because usually on Sunday mornings, he's locked back there in that airtight, sweaty room with all the heat and the breath that's happening in there. But what happens in that room is they make service happen. So, like, you just see these screens, and you're like, I don't know, it just happens. No, it's a bunch of people back there just doing an incredible job making sure that everybody has a great worship experience here and online. You're watching online. John has had a part to play in your church service today, in your experience today. So John is an incredible leader. He leads so many people back there, but also he's got an amazing story. He's a husband, he's a father, and just a great man of God. We're so excited to have him today. So would you put your hands together and welcome John Lavapie as he comes to speak. Come on, John.
Awesome. Josh's message was so good as well. It's like, yeah. It's been really touching. But I actually want to start and talk about a reality that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced some sort of exhaustion and restlessness. Maybe we work so hard to achieve our dreams, or after failing several times, nothing seems to be working. Or maybe when you thought you've given your best, but no one seems to notice. Push yourself to the limit by doing it all by yourself. Or maybe you lack sleep, and you wake up afraid that this day might not even give you anything good. Maybe you just want to quit now. It's difficult sometimes because you care so much about achieving your goals, because you care. You want to have a better life. You want to be happier. You want to be more successful. You want to be more satisfied. And God wants you to have that. God wants you to be happier. He wants you to be more successful. But what he doesn't want to see is when you end up stressed, afraid, and full of anxieties. He doesn't want to see that. He wants you to work out of rest. It sounds impossible, though, because naturally, you can't rest when you work. And you can't actually work when you rest. In this world, that is impossible. But if you don't know this by now, our God is a God of impossible. In Psalms 23, David described God as a shepherd. In verse 1, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." So where are you at now? Are you pressured, discouraged, not seeing a better future? You may be walking with your head down because you don't want to see what's up ahead. Well, I'll tell you, chin up, because God is there in front of you. He is waiting for you. He's waiting so that he can take care of you. He wants you to trust him like sheep trusting their shepherd. He is ready to lead us to a place where we can rest and be supplied with our needs, his green pasture. Are you afraid to stumble because you are walking on this rocky path? You don't want to stumble, right? But maybe you are afraid of that mountain in front of you. Don't focus on them. Set your eyes on him. The same way parents can see more because they're taller than their kids, right? But God is bigger than your problems. He is bigger than your sickness. He is bigger than your sadness. You may not see it now, but he knows where we are going. He is going to lead you to that green pasture. Let's continue to that verse. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Do you feel thirsty? Thirsty for answers? Thirsty for happiness? Thirsty for love? It says in the verse itself, he will lead you. So be led. Don't hold back. He will lead you to that answer. He will lead you to that happiness. He will lead you to that love, but not just ordinary love. He will lead you to a love that doesn't have any conditions. He will restore what's been taken from you from the past, and he will restore what you lack today. So good. So good. Wow. I just want to share some more, but let's move on. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. That's the next verse. Do people criticize you? Don't believe in you at work? Probably at home? Are you carrying a sickness for a long time? Afraid to fail, and that's holding you back? Afraid of this valley of world, so dark you can't find any light? David is saying, do not fear evil. But how? The verse actually doesn't stop there. If we continue, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. If you're going to write something down, write this. Remember that God is with you always. First day of school, parents come with their kids. Our performances, probably sports competitions, we ask our friends and families to come. First time to do something, we ask someone's help. There is something really comforting when people are physically there with us. But with God, it'll be more than comforting. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, in the Amplified Version, he says, do not fear anything, for I am with you. He's not just there for you. He is with you. He is not just somewhere in heaven observing you. He is physically there with you. Everywhere you go, any day, anytime, he is physically with you. But it's difficult, isn't it? Especially in our lowest point, to believe that he is there. But isn't that what faith is? Believing something that can't be seen. But when you continue to believe and have faith, he will not remain invisible. You will see him change things. You will feel him working with you. You will see that each and every day of your life, you are at rest because God is your supply. Everywhere you go, whatever you are doing, he will be there to help. You will not feel alone anymore. Let me close this by giving you my story. It's been about 4 years since I moved here to Canada so I can work. And I have a dream to get my family over, but at an expense that I had to leave my then pregnant wife and my 2-year-old kid. I had a big dream, so I had to work over. I worked my weak body off to a physical job, work overtime, sometimes 12 hours a day. To squeeze in the budget, I had to eat twice a day for a few weeks. I've been sick and battered, but I had to come to work. I had to force myself to get a promotion faster because that's the fastest way to get a permanent residency application. Because without that, it'll just drag me away. It'll take a few years. But I was so disappointed though, because I felt like no one was noticing my efforts. I had to prove myself again to another position after being laterally transferred twice. Nothing is going how I want them. I wanted to go home. I miss my family so much. I have 2 kids now, and I only was able to see them once. I reached my lowest point, and the thing is, I have no friends to talk to because I was just so busy working this life. I felt so alone, and I knew I was done. But God was not done. He told me I was not alone. I was never alone. I was doing too much on my own when he was there all along. He told me to seek him first and trust him. Now it doesn't matter how rough the road is. It doesn't matter if I have to walk 15 minutes from White Avenue just to go to church. Because I love it, I will be blessed going to church. It doesn't matter if it takes years to get my family over because I know that God has a plan for me. It doesn't matter if I fail a million times because my trust is with him. I remember this song that says, I may be weak, but your spirit is strong in me. My flesh may fail, but God, you never will. You may be struggling right now, restless from all the disappointments on this imperfect world. I know it's hard. It's so hard. That's why God wants us to realize that we are not in this alone, that we can walk this valley and fear no evil, that in confidence and in faith, we can boldly say, God, you are always with me. Thank you. Let's go.
Amen. Amen. And John, our whole church is believing for your family to make it here from the Philippines. We're praying for you. We're believing that God can make a way. So, hey, that's amazing. Great job, John. Hey, on to our next speaker, man. Our next speaker, she's actually on staff here at our church. She's part of a lot of the different events that are run here, but she's part of so much more than that. She does so much at our church. She's such a life-giving person. She has an amazing impact on the youth in our church, just doing an incredible job there. But I tell you what, she lights up a room when she walks into it. She's so much fun. She loves people. She loves Jesus. She's newly married, and I think you're going to be blessed by her message today. So, hey, would you put your hands together and welcome Sophie Robichaud as she comes to speak today.
Slips up the screen. Good morning. So I'm going to get right into it. Hebrews 12:15 says this: look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. The question I have for you today is there bitterness in you that's stopping blessing from happening through you? Is there bitterness in you that's stopping blessing from happening through you? Yeah. Perhaps when you hear the word bitterness, there's someone specific who comes to mind. There's someone who ticks you off. There's someone who you can't stand to be around. There's someone who gets what you want and you don't think that they deserve it. Or there's a situation that comes to mind about how this person hurt you, a comment that they said to you. Bitterness causes you to withhold goodness from people, withhold kindness from people, withhold encouragement, withhold grace, and not just the person who you're bitter towards. Hebrews says that bitterness corrupts many. And it's a contagious disease that poisons you and poisons others as you spread it. Maybe you're bitter about a situation that happened to you. Maybe you're bitter towards a boss, a family member, a friend, a spouse. And in Genesis, we read about a young man named Joseph. And Joseph had a whole life that could have turned him bitter. His brothers sold him into slavery. He became a slave. He was wrongly accused by his boss. He was put into jail, and he was forgotten about by his friend for 2 years. Crap friend. Just kidding. But Joseph didn't let this make him bitter. In Genesis 50, Joseph is now in charge of all of Egypt, and he's facing his brothers again for the first time in years. There's a severe famine happening all around the world, so everyone is traveling to Egypt to get food to stay alive. In verse 18, we pick up here. Then his brothers came and they threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for the good. So he brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Don't let what people did to you be bigger than what Jesus did for you. Joseph, instead of letting his bitterness corrupt him and letting it poison him and poison others, he chose to be a blessing and remain faithful. He went from slave to prisoner to being in charge of all of Egypt, and so that his life could save the lives of many people. What if we saw everything that happens to us through the lens of, if my God is for me, then who could ever be against me? And my God is working all things out for the good. So in your situation, could that hurtful, could that difficult person actually be an opportunity for you to bless them? Is this in your life so that you can get better and not bitter? Is this an opportunity for you to show grace and to show kindness? Is this so that you could show them how a Christian would handle this situation? Because when Jesus was dying on the cross and when people were hurting him, he said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. Is this a chance for you to lean on God and get your strength from him and him alone? That situation in your life that can make you bitter, or the thing that will happen on Wednesday when that coworker opens their mouth again, how are you going to think about it? There's planters outside of our West Lobby here, and they have so many weeds, and each week we're pulling out lots and lots of weeds because the soil is bad. Is your soil an environment where weeds grow? Is your soil an environment where weeds are fertilized? For things to grow, they need to be cared for. And sometimes we're caring about the wrong things. We're thinking about the comment that they said to us. We're rehearsing what they said and exactly what they meant by it. And we're thinking about how we're going to set them straight and what we're going to say. And we're thinking about their faults. We're thinking about the mistake. And our soil is conducive to letting bitterness grow. And instead of fertilizing bitterness to grow, we need to fertilize grace and we need to fertilize kindness to grow. So how is your soil? Is there bitterness in you that's stopping blessing from happening through you? How can we improve our soil? And how can we make sure that bitterness doesn't take root and stop us from being a blessing? Well, the difference between staying bitter and getting better is I. One letter difference. What am I thinking about? This is an amazing thought, and it's that I don't have to dwell on everything that pops into my head. I can choose what I think about. I can choose my emotions, and I don't have to let my emotions control me. I can control my emotions. This thought has absolutely changed my life. What regulates your thoughts? Is it God's word? Do you have any boundaries on what you allow yourself to think about? When my mind starts to wander and I start to think nasty about a person or nasty about a situation, I have to reel myself back in and tell myself, no, I'm not going to think that about that person. No, I'm not going to replay this scenario over and over again. No, I'm not going to think about the comment that they said. No, I'm not going to let this thought control my day. I'm not going to let bitterness grow. I'm not going to fertilize bitterness. Don't be passive with your thoughts. Put boundaries on what you think and reel yourself back in when you get to a place of bitterness. See, Joseph was a blessing, and he used the crap that he was going through as fertilizer to grow strong and to grow resilient. How many people know that crap is good fertilizer? Tell yourself, this is some good crap, and I'm going to use this to get better. I'm going to use this to bless someone. I'm going to have a life that God can always use. I'm going to give to people what they do not deserve. I'm going to give the compliment. I'm going to love like I've never been hurt. I'm going to speak well about the person who hurt me. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to continue to serve my leader. I'm going to forgive my parents. I'm going to forgive the friend. I'm going to forgive the sibling. I'm going to see the goodness of God in this situation. I'm going to work on my soil. I'm going to pull out the weeds of bitterness. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to get better and not bitter. See, Joseph chose to be a blessing. I felt like a rapper. Joseph chose to be a blessing, and he went from slave to prisoner to being in charge of all of Egypt and helping the world through a severe famine. What could your story look like if you chose to be a blessing? What could happen if you chose to get better and not bitter? See, some time ago, bitterness had taken a hold on my life, and the disease was working. It was poisoning my heart. It was ruining my relationships, and I wanted to uproot everything that God had done in my life. And maybe that's you. And what I want to tell you is that your life is too short, and your calling is too great to be bitter about something that is small. Thank you.
All right. Great job, Sophie. Great job, Sophie. Hey, we got one last speaker in our Relay Sunday today. And man, this last speaker is such a blessing to our church. Him and his wife are such a blessing to our church. We are so lucky to have them in our church. He has been serving on our sound team for so many years, making it happen. So if the music was too loud this morning, it's Pat's fault. This is his fault. He is to blame. It's not us. It's Pat. But no, he's such a blessing to our church in so many different ways. Such a skilled person, an amazing husband, an amazing father. And man, him and his wife are part of leading one of our young adults teams, and they do an incredible job ministering to young adults in our church. And we love them so much. He's going to do an amazing job. Let's give it up for Pat Biasen this morning. Come on.
Hey, everybody. Is everybody pumped? I'm so pumped. First of all, I just want to say, I already held Pastor Dennis and Pastor Joel up to a high regard when they speak every Sunday, but having to have preached in the first service, I respect them so much more. I've never done this before. It's crazy. Anyway, so let's wrap this up. It's the last speaker. I wanted to speak to you all today about just a challenge that I feel like we as Christians face throughout our lives. And that challenge is how to grow in Christ so that we don't outgrow Christianity. Okay, so let me read to you from Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So Jesus called the little child to him and placed the child among them. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So I've been serving in this church for about 8 years now. And about 2 years ago, me and my wife, we helped to start one of our Young Adults Connect groups here. So in the group, we have people joining from, 18 to 30-something. And when we're meeting these people, time and time again, we hear a familiar story. And that story is that, you know, they went to church growing up with their parents. Or maybe in high school age, they started, you know, going to the youth group like we have Risen here. And they were on fire for God. But you know, I've heard it more than once. They said that, you know, they stopped going for whatever reason. They outgrew Christianity. Unfortunately, you know, that doesn't just happen to people of young adults age, right? Like growing up in church, unfortunately, you know, I've had the experience where I've seen people come, maybe they're struggling with their faith or they're going through some rough patches and they lean on God and they lean on the church for help. And during this time, you know, it's amazing. We see God working through their lives. Maybe they get that breakthrough that they're praying for. They get their prayers answered. They get their life back on track. They get their relationships back on track. But I've seen it more than once that, you know, we start to see these people less and less after that happens. And eventually not at all. And you start to think, you know, what happened? I just saw God doing amazing things in this person's life. Why is the result of that them losing out and losing touch with God and the church? And you ask why, and I think it's because, you know, they became convinced that they no longer needed God, that they outgrew him. So going back to Matthew 18, Jesus tells us to become like little children. So I believe, you know, that the image that Jesus is trying to portray here is that we're supposed to have this mindset that there's always something more that we can be learning. Wow, right? I just blew your minds. No, like, I know that a lot of us already apply this principle to our lives, to our work, to our school. Why are we struggling to apply it in our faith? You know, like that saying, one of the best ways to learn something is to teach someone what you already know. You can definitely apply that here in Christianity. Early in our walk, you know, we're discovering so much about the Bible and what God has to say in our lives, his promises for us. And that's awesome. Grow as much as you can, but we can't only grow our faith inwardly. At some point, it has to come out. If we want to move to the next step, you know, we have to flip that switch and share that knowledge and experience with other people. Unfortunately, you know, that's where a lot of us get stuck, me included. I'm going to share with you a couple challenges that I've had to face regarding sharing my faith. A big fear that I have is not knowing all the answers. I'm afraid of being put on the spot sometimes, like now. And it's easier not to share my faith with, you know, someone who I know will ask me the tough questions that I can't answer. And we need to know how to deal with that, even though they do ask those questions. We do that by sharing what we do know, okay? So one of the most powerful things you can do is share what God promises you in the Bible, but also couple that with your experiences and how you've seen the promises come through in your life. Have you seen the promises come to fruition in your lives? So when I was 16, my dad, he died of cancer. It shattered my family. My mom, she wouldn't get out of bed for months. And I can't say why my dad didn't get better, why we didn't get that prayer answered the way we were praying for it. And if I tell you this story and you ask me, you know, where was God in that situation? I know the answer to that question. He never left my family. In Psalms 30, it says that God lifts us out of our depths. He turns our weeping into dancing. And with my own eyes, I saw him bring color. I saw him bring radiance back into my mom. He restored our family, me, my brother, and my sister. We're closer than ever today. And another story that I like to tell is when I was 20, my girlfriend, she called me on Skype and she told me those words that echo in my mind. I'm pregnant, 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 right? I didn't have a job then. You know, I remember watching Breaking Bad in my room, living in my mom's house, okay? And she was on the literal other side of the world. Like, we could not be further apart. And, you know, like, I know what you're thinking. I went on vacation to visit her. It was a long story. We only have 7 minutes. Let's keep going. So I didn't have a plan, you know, when she asked me, what do we do? But I knew Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So I trusted him with our situation. I gave him control over our next steps. And today, you know, he made our path straight. So we've been married for over 8 years today. We have two amazing children. My son, he was sitting in the front on the last service. I'm so proud of him. And he got baptized right here on the stage a month ago. My goodness. And today, you know, we're both serving in this church, and we both have our dream jobs. God has definitely set our path straight. And so every time I get to share these stories, you know, my faith in God reignites, and I discover more ways in which he's working in my life. You know, all of this adds to my story, which I can share and that I keep learning and sharing, and the cycle continues. So the second challenge that I have is creating that opportunity to share. You've likely heard it preached up here before that we can't reach the world if we're not in the world. I totally, wholeheartedly agree with that. But some people, you know, they take liberties on that statement. They think that, you know, it's a free pass, that just because we can go to those places that we can do all the things that those people do. We have to be careful with that. We have to elevate ourselves, and we need to remember our purpose in those situations. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 16, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Later on, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity." We have to be aware of the opportunities around us. So we can be in the darkest places saying that we're trying to be a light. But if people look at us, they don't see the difference between us and them. They won't see a light when they look at you. They'll see a burnt out candle. You won't open any doors that way. And we need them to see the light that we have, that they want. So when you're finally having that conversation with that person you're trying to reach and your heart starts beating faster, you know that's God knocking on your heart to tell your story. Don't ignore it. You ignore it once, it becomes easier and easier every time to become apathetic to the word of God and the calling on your life. Let's always stay learning. Let's always stay sharing to keep growing in faith and not outgrowing Christianity. Thanks.
You guys did amazing. Thank you so much. You guys may be seated. I want to close with one thing. We don't like to close out a Sunday without giving an opportunity to make Jesus Lord and Savior. Here, I want to read you four statements that these four made today. Josh started with, "Worship isn't an event. Worship's a lifestyle." Then John came up and told us that God is always with us, no matter what you're going through. Sophie then came up and said, "What could your story look like?" And then Pat closes and he says, "We grow inwardly and then grow outwardly." Maybe you haven't made the decision to grow inwardly, to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to give you an opportunity before we leave today to say yes to the call of God on your life. So if every head could be bowed and every eye could be closed in the room, just for a moment of privacy. If you're in the room today and you're saying, "Today's my day, Camp Sunday, Relay Sunday, to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life," I want to pray a prayer with you. So if that's you, on the count of three, just slip your hand up so we know you're making this decision. 1, 2, 3. Your hand can go up. Your hand can go up. There's hands. Thank you. Thank you. There's hands in every single section of this room. You can put your hands back down. And church, can we pray along with these people that are making the best decision of their life today? Repeat it to me. Say, "God, thank you so much that you sent your son to die on a cross and to pay for my sins. Today I declare you are Lord, you are Savior. My life is no longer mine, but it's yours." And in Jesus' name we said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those people that made that decision today.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.